In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, as I think some of you know, I was invited this week to go speak at a conference on ministry and its challenges in Appalachia. And the organization that I went to speak at it's called the Consortium of Endowed Episcopal Parishes, okay? It's for congregations that essentially have a certain threshold of money and resources with which to affect ministry and how they operate. I got news for you. We don't make a cut, okay? So here I go, and I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. And one thing I learned in Louisville is that no one can agree on how you're supposed to pronounce that. Is it Louisville? Is it Louisville? I don't know. I was terrified to say anything because I know how people get. But so I fly in, and I get in an Uber, and it takes me to the hotel. I get out, and I get my stuff there, and I come out of the hotel. The hotel is about a block and a half away from where the conference was going on. And I would come out of the hotel, make a right, go to the end of the block, turn down Muhammad Ali Boulevard, and then make a left, and I would be at the conference center. And I did this a half dozen times, at least. And so with the name of a group like the Consortium of Endowed Episcopal Parishes, once I got there and checked in, it was literally every stereotype of an Episcopalian you could possibly imagine, okay? So Bank of America had a booth set up there, right? They had you had free gifts that were given out by J.P. Morgan. There were, in true Episcopalian fashion, did we get T-shirts for going? No. Did we get coffee mugs? No. What did we get? Tea towels. The gift was tea towels. It's actually kind of nice. All sorts of stereotypes exist for a reason, okay? That being said, I was in Louisville, and as I was coming into town, I was reminded of one of my favorite authors. From the 20th century, a guy by the name of Thomas Merton. Have any of you heard of Thomas Merton? Some of you have heard of Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton was a Trappist monk who lived at Gethsemane, which is about an hour or so outside of Louisville. He was a prolific author. The first portion of his life was this really sort of bohemian lifestyle until he found this conversion, and he became Roman Catholic and became a monk. It's a fascinating story of his life that is told in The Seven Story Mountain. If you ever get a chance to read that book, highly recommend it. Merton is also the author of a bunch of prayers, especially for people in discernment, and later in life became quite the ecumenist and really tried to bring the Roman Catholic Church into dialogue with other traditions. Not just within Christianity, but also outside, so that we could essentially play nice with each other and learn and appreciate certain gifts and spirituality. In March of 1958, I believe it was, I might have the year wrong, the story goes, and it's sort of a famous story for people who follow Merton. He was walking down 4th Street and Walnut Avenue. And he had this epiphany. And I'm going to read to you what he wrote about the experience while he was walking down. Now, this area is busy downtown, lots of shopping and all of that. And this is what he wrote about this moment in time that he experienced there. He said, "In Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, in the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all these people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, of spurious self-isolation in a special world. This sense of liberation from an illusory difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. I have the immense joy of being man, a member of a race in which God Himself became incarnate. As if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me now that I realize what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this. But it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. Then it was as if I suddenly saw the secret beauty of their hearts, the depths of their hearts where neither sin nor desire nor self-knowledge can reach, the core of their reality, the person that each one is in God's eyes. If only they could all see themselves as they really are. If only we could see each other in that way all the time. There would be no more war, no more hatred, no more cruelty, no more greed. So I knew of this story and I knew some of those words, and that first night in the hotel I looked this back up, and I was reading it and meditating on this week while I was at this conference. Now again, I'm surrounded by filthy rich Episcopalians, okay, who are talking about the best way to invest $10 million, okay? Totally out of my league, right? Meanwhile, in that block and a half that I would walk to, I was surrounded by so many homeless people. I was absolutely floored by this because I really wasn't expecting it in a city like Louisville, but every time I would walk out that there would be people who would be panhandling money, and you know, I've got a collar on, so I've got to keep a couple of ones floating at the top of the pocket so that I can, you know, reach out and hand it to them. And my favorite experience of this week, dealing with these people who would come up and just want to talk, or one guy bumped me for a cigarette, and I'm like, sorry, I don't smoke. Then he asked me for money to go buy cigarettes, and he said, I don't think I want to do that either. But I was walking the last day of the conference, and I had on, as you know, I have creative socks. Today, I have moose on my socks. I had hot pink socks with donuts on them. And I'm walking down the block. This homeless guy comes up to me, and I thought he was going to ask me for money. He said, hey, Padre, I just want to let you know, I really like those socks. You have a good day. And he walked off. I thought, that's the best compliment I've had at this conference, you know? I kept thinking, inside that hall are all these very wealthy people who are somewhat self-absorbed because everything stopped at 5 o'clock for cocktail hour, okay? There was so much need out on the streets just outside of them. Was I hearing anyone talk about that, how it is that we reconcile all of these things to each other? How are we able to do this? And it kept bothering my mind. And at one point, I remembered that line of Merton's when he's talking about being at the corner of 4th Avenue and Walnut. He says that everyone around him was shining like the sun. If we could only appreciate the depths of each human heart. And I thought to myself, I need to give a little more grace to these people inside this building who have known nothing but wealth and privilege. I need to give extra grace to those people who were outside there bumming money, even if they looked like they were strong and could hold a job. I needed to give extra grace to people who were around me at all times and all places. I needed to think about that when I came back to Bluefield. I needed to remember that someone out there is in the face of it. Everyone out there is in the image of God. Each of us have that opportunity to live into, as we prayed in our collect, to go on to glory to glory. Do I see that in the faces of those who come to the food pantry? Do I see that in the faces of those people who I see walking up and down the street on the avenue in the evenings? Do I see it in the faces of all of you wonderful people whom I love sitting here today? Do I see you each and every one shining like the sun, made in the image of God? Can we not all realize that we can be transfigured into glory by living into the radiance of Christ? Truly believing and wanting to imitate his person and his being and his teachings, can we not truly appreciate who and what we can become? That glory that can be if we would only try to live into that beauty. Can we? Can we really see that shining face in each and every one of us? It's hard. And I tell you what, sometimes we miss it. We miss it because we're too busy. We miss it because we don't appreciate the world around us. And we miss it because we don't appreciate the people around us. As I was getting ready to leave yesterday late morning, I called for an Uber. My default thing. I was always told as a kid, never get into a car with strangers. And I do it all the time now. But I call for the Uber, and I go, and I'm standing outside at the corner there at the hotel. And the guy pulls up, pops the trunk, and puts my suitcase in. And I go, and I put my hand on the handle to get in the back seat. Because I'm not, like, good. I'm too good to sit in the front seat. I don't know why.
You've got mail.
I had my hand on the handle. And I pull it open, and I look up, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this little green sign on the street corner. I passed it half dozen times. Thomas Merton Plaza. I look, it's 4th Street and Muhammad Ali. I'm thinking, it's not 4th and Walnut. Well, I sit down in the back seat of my car and Google it quickly. You know what Muhammad Ali Boulevard used to be? Walnut. I spent all that time walking all past that, never appreciating where I was, while I was trying to appreciate what was said and thought there. Don't ever let those little things pass you by. Appreciate the goodness in each and every single one of us. You can see how we are, in fact, all made in the image of God. And realizing that, and appreciating that, my brothers and sisters, brings us to be transfigured as well with Christ from glory to glory. Amen.